From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Craig. All right, it's the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It's August 18, 2015, figureforonline.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Craig and Vinny are here tonight. Last Brian and Vinny and Craig show before SummerSlam. So we got the go-home show for Raw to talk about, as well as Nitro from 19 years ago this week. And before we even get started with anything, we've got to talk about the most important thing. This buffering. It's so funny, Craig.
Still haven't let it go, huh?
How can I let it go?
Yes.
Charted, which I don't like doing because I don't like math, I don't like charts, but I was so infuriated that I charted the amount of time that Nitro buffered over a 1 hour and 31 minute show. You guys showed up at what time, Vinny? 5 after?
Yes.
You were late, but you were lucky because thanks to the buffering, you were on time.
Yeah, we were
lucky.
You
got it from Craig too, didn't you?
Technically, you were not wrong.
Yes. 9 minutes of buffering over a 1 hour and 31 minute show. It's like impossible to enjoy this program when there's 9 minutes of buffering in an hour and 31 minute show. I'm trying to watch William Regal and Dean Malenko, and every 5 seconds, it just stops. That little thing spins, and then it goes again. 5 more seconds, stop. That little thing. It buffered in at least 50% of the matches on this show. And now that Lucha Underground is gone, people have been making suggestions about what we should watch in its place. And one of the suggestions has been, hey, why don't you guys start watching the Attitude Era Raw? It's an hour, right?
Yes.
I'm asking you, Vinny.
Yes.
Why don't you go up and check on the network right there? That'll give you something to do while you're dinking around on the computer.
I'll see what I can do.
So I think it's an hour. This would be a fine replacement for Lucha Underground. But if you think I want to watch anything in the archives on this network at this point, you're wrong. I'm sick of it. Do you not get buffering, Craig?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
No, of course not.
Okay, Vinny?
I've seen it. It hasn't been bad until, ironically, this week. It was much worse this
week.
Wow,
how about that? Yeah. Hey, how bad was it?
Not as bad as yours, but it was there.
I've gotten all of these people on Twitter telling me they have the exact same problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe it.
I got 35-35, my internet speed. Mm. 35 up, 35 down. That's pretty fucking good. So I don't think the issue is on my end. And like I said, I've never had an issue with the pay-per-views, ever. We will watch SummerSlam on Sunday. I will have zero issues the entire show. Guaranteed. What? They just moved to an hour and a half?
No, nothing to do with you or your rant or anything. There's a vault section, but the Raw Attitude Era is in the in-ring section of all current stuff.
The current stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. I'm still investigating.
So I have discovered that I believe Frontier, which is my god-awful cable company, is now offering 100-100. 100 up and 100 down. Now, because this is my job and because this annoys me so much, I am going to call them in the morning and I am going to attempt to switch to 100. Fios 100, they call it. 100 up and 100 down. And if I still get buffering on Nitro and Raw, I'm putting my foot down. It will be the end of the Nitro reviews, and there will be zero Attitude Era Raws. We'll find something else. We'll get DVDs. We'll go on. You know what we'll do? We'll go on YouTube, and we'll find stuff on there. That way we can all watch it together. Everybody can enjoy it. But I will bypass the WWE Network. That's how frustrated I am with this buffering issue.
Well, there are frustrating things. The network not being all it should be here now, almost a year and a half in. The Raws from 1996 are not on here.
Awesome.
There's like 3 of them from December.
Oh, great.
So we're going to do the same gimmick.
Well, is it 95 on there?
No.
There's no 95?
No.
Wasn't there 95 like months ago? Am I imagining
things? Unless there's somewhere
things?
Else on here. Maybe the, are those in the vault?
Check the vault.
So, well, I'll finish this one. The August, I believe, well, whatever the date is, August 18th, 97. On here on the network, it is in fact an hour and 30. So it was a 2-hour show by then.
I see.
Now, I will continue my search.
Can we go back to 1993? Do they have those Raws on there? Can we go back even further?
We need a doink.
Like, what the hell can we watch that I can watch all the way through without buffering with my 30-30 internet? Soon to be 100-100.
There's a category here for Raw replays. How far back does that go?
I think
oh, here we go. Okay, okay, yes. That, by the way, it's still not in the vault, but it goes to 1993.
Oh, good. All right, so do they have the 96? Could we go August the week of August 96, 19 years ago?
I'm going to check where that is. It appears to have the whole year here.
All right, see how long these shows
August
are.
August 19th, we'll try that one.
I think it's only an hour. I don't think they've moved to 2 hours yet. Or am I wrong?
I will tell you in about 5 seconds after it buffers.
You got to be kidding me. Oh,
no, it's playing the Daniel Bryan ad.
Oh, these ads.
Yeah.
I don't even care about ads.
Not fine with ads. Just want to watch what I want to watch and have it right there and have it work.
I'm really, this is a free show today because we're doing the free, totally free Tuesday gimmick. Every Tuesday radio show is free. So I'm trying to contain my profanity here. But when I have
to pay for the cursing,
when I have to recap Raw, and I have to hear Michael Cole say that the WWE Network is just like Netflix, only a better value. When it's $2 more per month, and I've never one time in my whole life had a buffering issue on Netflix, I may flip my lid. I may flip it. What's it say, Vinny? How long does it take to find out how long the show
is? There's the commercial, and there's that little 5-second thing they do. Okay, the show's 46 minutes.
Okay, so
more importantly, by the way, if we watch this, the main event of the show is, in fact, Shawn Michaels versus Yokozuna.
That's my favorite match!
That's a great fucking match. I'm just going to leave this on while we do the show.
All right, don't, because we're going to watch it tomorrow. Don't spoil it.
No, that's right. We need something to watch.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Well, everybody, we're going to give the Raws from 1996 a shot, and we'll see how it goes. If we watch NXT and there's no buffering, and then I watch that Raw and it buffers the whole time, that's it for the classic shows. Done. Finished. We'll be watching Swerved and Jerry Springer.
I'm not watching Swerved.
Actually,
I'll quit before I watch Swerve.
Vinny, have you watched Swerve yet?
Let me read you a Facebook message our friend Sean sent me this afternoon.
Oh, it depends on which one he watched.
I'm just going to read you verbatim what he sent to me. He sent me 3 messages. First one, this Swerve show is awful. Second message, he did say maybe the episode I'm watching. See, it could be exception.
See.
Third paragraph, I'm going to read what it says. Don't blame me. Kofi is eating poop out of a diaper with Paige.
That we won't watch.
No.
I did watch the very first episode of Swerve where they had the gimmick where you sit down and you get electrocuted. Okay, this actually was a pretty funny show. Mostly because they got these dumbasses to sit down 3 times before they figured out that they were being swerved. And with each passing time, it literally did get funnier. But we'll give the Raw a chance. We'll try it. But My campaign to fix the buffering is going to continue if we have any problems. So let's get going on Raw here. Let's quit wasting time. That's your cue, Vinny, to actually do some work now.
Right. Helmsley's came out for a boring 20-minute promo. Although, to be fair, they only went like less than 10 minutes and it was totally fine. They plugged the SummerSlam card. And they said you could only see it on the network, which was in fact a lie.
A lie that they talked about later in the show.
They came, repeatedly, by the way.
Yeah.
They repeated this lie and then revealed they were lying.
And then lied about it at the end.
How can they be successful? How do they win the war?
Have you seen everybody else?
Oh, that's true. I just remember similar tale. That one year I went to Cauliflower Alley, and Nick Bockwinkel goes up to speak in front of the crowd, and he says, I know not everyone here is a fan of Vince McMahon, but somebody's going to win this war. And he started listing off all the other possibilities. And with each name, you just hear, bah, 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 bah. So, yeah. Anyway. So they plug the network. They announced Jon Stewart as host, and they're all very excited. They were actually being great promoters here, so God bless them. And then they were done, and they left. Very, very refreshing.
I know somebody's going to be very mad that I said, "Have you seen the other options?" Because they're going to say that Ring of Honor is great, which it is, and New Japan on Access is great, which it is, and all of the other promotions around the world that are great.
Mm-hmm.
But wrestling fans, in 2015 grew up on WWE. They grew up on this kind of production. They grew up on big buildings. They grew up on larger-than-life superstars. They grew up with all of the stuff that WWE provides. And so WWE would have to fail spectacularly to run off all of their viewers. And somebody would have to come up that would have to be better in every way, including production and star power, than WWE. And there's nobody. That's why they're successful.
Well, I meant more how they won the war in the past. Regardless, your point still stands.
Well, that was the one time they were losing, when Nitro was doing everything better.
That's true.
And had a lot of money.
Well, I understand why Nitro lost.
So do I. Even when I watch the show now, it's patently obvious this trouble that's coming.
Yeah. Anyway, Orton and Cesaro versus Owens and Sheamus. I wrote Cesaro twice.
That would have been a good match.
Clone Cesaro?
Yeah.
This is a fun match anyway. It was funny, it was a total house show match, which is not a bad thing, but Owens was afraid to fight Cesaro, but had no trouble fighting Orton. Sheamus was afraid to fight Orton, but had no trouble fighting Cesaro.
Yeah. Two men who are clones.
I guess.
They're the same height, yes. They're virtually the same weight, they've got the same body.
Oh, Orton, Cesaro.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Same haircut almost.
Yep.
Yeah, so point being, they're just more afraid of the guy they just happen to have a match coming up with. So they had a fun tag match. People absolutely loved Cesaro, chanting his name, waving his signs, and then sadly he fucked up a flip on the ropes at the end.
Owens helped him over.
Just hanging there like a geek. And then Orton and Owens fucked up an RKO spot, and Orton finally RKO'd Sheamus for the win. A very fun match until the sloppiness at the end.
I don't know whose fault that was.
I think he was supposed to push him off.
Well, he was, but Orton actually started going down. Well, Evans lifted him back up and then threw him off.
Here's my theory on whose fault it was, because we've discussed this before. Orton didn't throw a tantrum.
That's true.
That means
it must have been his fault. Yeah, you're right.
So, crowd was forgiving of the finish there, and like I say, for the first 15 minutes or whatever, that was fun.
I didn't see it live, but it was on my Twitter later. Somebody put up the screen cap of Fat Owens Fat, the sign in the crowd.
They dwelled on that sign forever.
I know.
It was on there for at least 10, 15 seconds.
This one was Kevin Dunn. He is the director, and he thought that sign was really fun. And listen, as we mentioned last week, Kevin Dunn is not the one that fed Randy Orton a line about, have you gained weight? That was not Kevin Dunn. But Kevin Dunn apparently found it hilarious, as did Vince. Mm. They're big fans of Fat Owens Fat. And the picture I got had the back of Owens' shirt, so you could see Fight Owens Fight, and then right next to it was Fat Owens Fat.
They actually went...
Very well timed.
This is a bad pun, but they went to a wide shot to get the sign and Owens...
You'd have to.
...way down the ramp.
Yeah.
What jerks.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
We had an Undertaker promo video. It was... sort of almost like a Bray Wyatt one. He was backstage. He was walking through smoke, sometimes hidden through smoke, and then more lit up at the end, and all the light was purple and pink. And he was doing a 1995 Undertaker promo about damned souls and terror from the grave or whatever other bullshit.
He hasn't done one of those since 95.
Yeah, I don't know, but I didn't write down what he said. But all I could think was, this is hokey and fake. This looks hokey and fake here in 2015.
Wow. You're the one.
I'm the one.
I mean, it is, but it's been hokey and fake since 1995.
Yeah, but in 1995, you had clowns running around. You had a wrestling race car driver.
Now we've had Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt. A bull.
And a bull.
A leprechaun.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Probably making another movie.
Rollins met with the Helmsleys.
He forgot the flashcards.
They did the flashcard game.
This was where we were told, just like Netflix, just a better value. Yeah.
Would you be happier if they listed buffering as a feature?
May as well.
WWE Network, now with buffering.
Now with 100% more buffering than Netflix. Actually, may as well do that, because most of their viewers may not even know what buffering is.
That's a solid point.
He just tell them, like, this is a selling point. We have more buffering than Netflix.
Got extra time in your hands? We've got buffering.
Yeah.
Rollins met with the Helmsleys.
Our viewers spend more time on our network than they do on Netflix. And then in really small print, due to excessive buffering, down there at the bottom. Why not?
Oh, God. So anyway, Rollins said there was statues at WWE headquarters of legends like Andre the Giant and the Ultimate Warrior, and he wanted one of himself.
Yeah.
And they promised he would get one if he won two belts at SummerSlam.
He's doomed.
I so want to see a Seth Rollins statue get destroyed somehow.
Well, that's the other thing. When they first said this, I thought he was doomed. But then when I thought about it, it was like, can you imagine Brock F5-ing a statue?
Mm-hmm.
And it just having it just explode into pieces?
It's tremendous.
That'd be unbelievable. Cena gives the statue an AA.
That would work.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns versus Luke Harper. The only thing here that I have not seen 2,000 times.
What they could do is they would take Andre's statue.
Right.
And they would just redo the head, put yep. Seth's head on it.
Put a wig on it.
Just save some money, you know. We didn't want to give him the whole statue.
Okay. Anyway, the only thing about this match that I haven't seen 1,000 times now, Bray and Luke come down the ramp. And they do a shot from behind them so you can see all the cell phones lit up. And then it pans around and you see the lights on the Tron. And as they start to walk, little bitty fireflies, if you will, appear at the bottom of the screen. They're all buzzing around. And they fly into Bray and Luke's names.
Mm.
It's the first time you've seen this.
I usually skip the entrances.
I see.
They've been doing this for months now?
Yeah.
Oh. It's cool.
Yes, it's very cool.
Everyone wants to get their own entrance like that.
Sure.
Other than that, they had a match. They did the exact same pace throughout. I found it very, very numbing, and it seemed like the longer they went, the less the crowd was into it.
It was too long. It wasn't a bad match, but it was too long.
I enjoyed this match.
Dean Ambrose starts. He's on commentary, and he throws out a bunch of lines at the beginning, and they wrestle, just like Seth Rollins talking. They wrestle, and then all of a sudden, Dean Ambrose is recycling the same lines that he was going over at the beginning of the match. Because he's run out of material. And he started over again.
So Roman hit the Superman punch in the spear for the win. And then he and Dean left. And Bray knelt over Harper's prone body and smiled and told us to follow the buzzards. And this whole result will be wiped clean by whatever happens on Sunday anyway.
Luke Harper hit a sweet boot to the face.
Oh.
Like it actually killed him.
God, it looked like he killed him.
Bloodied his mouth.
It did kill him.
Hit a sweet Michinoku driver. And I thought it was a good match. I liked it.
Announcers gave a very canned speech about, and I quote, the female athlete of today.
Of today.
Just this whole thing.
Women athletes just started getting over in real sports.
That's right.
This year.
No one ever heard of Chris
Up
Everett Lloyd.
Sunday.
Or,
up until Sunday, there had been no female athletes.
No, none.
Ever. Everything they said was a marketing catchphrase, and this is made me sick. Not because
wow.
Not because I don't like female athletes, because everything they said was so phony and scripted.
What a sexist. It made me sick. Putting over these women in sports.
The way they did it. Moving on.
I'll move on here. Listen. I'll make this company a deal.
Really?
If the buffering continues on my WWE network, I will watch for one additional month before I give up. If they get rid of this last kicker line.
That is dumb.
Last kicker is so bad.
There's about 15 things in the show I hate more than last kicker.
It's so bad. That literally makes me sick. It pains me when they say last kicker.
Doesn't bother me. You know what bothers me? Watching Tamina wrestle.
Aye.
Hey, Becky Lynch got a good match out of her. I wouldn't say a good match.
She got a viewable.
She got, well, it was the best match of Tamina's career, probably.
Sure.
But Becky Lynch got it out of her, so good for her.
You know who Tamina is, stylistically? She's the Warlord.
I thought you were going to say you.
Well, no, she's better than me. But
no, she's not. Rarely do I put you over, Vinny, but let's not get crazy here.
So, the only thing she has going for her in the ring is that she is big. So Becky would charge and try like a single leg or a waist leg or something. And Tamina would shake her off and hit like one power move or one clubber and forearm. And then she would stand there and pose and be big. This was like Becky Lynch having a match with a tree.
Yeah.
So finally, Becky countered a power move into the disarmer, and Tamina tapped out. And when I say tapped out, she could barely do that right.
Well, you know, she hasn't tapped many times in her career, Vinny. She's so powerful. It's a new experience for her to have to give up.
You remember last Monday when we were at Raw, and she threw a kick to one of the girls?
Yes, it was.
And I looked at you, and you looked at me, and we both stared at each other with our mouths open. It was like,
yep.
Good grief.
And you know another thing on top of last kicker?
Yes.
Team BAD and Team PCB.
Much worse.
This is really what we're coming up with here in 2015 for creativity.
Yeah.
So the Bellas, are they
there's
B-A-B?
Team there's Team Bella.
Team Bab? I did have an idea. I had this idea today. Alicia changes her name to Ursula.
Just go with it, Vinny.
And you have Team B-U-B.
Bub.
Boob.
Ah.
You're so proud.
Is that any worse than Team PCB
and
Team B-A-D?
It's much better than
PCB. Thank you.
PCB is so close to PCP.
That'd be better.
PCB is like a poison.
I see.
Huh. I've never mentioned that. It's just three letters.
This company sucks. Rusev versus Mark Henry. Lana was on commentary. They brawled slowly on the floor as Lana spoke softly in a monotone. This is not enthralling TV. And Henry fought off the camel clutch once, and then Rusev just put it right back on anyway, and he won.
They tried to add some drama there at the end. Didn't work.
A false finish.
Oh, man, he's going to power out. Oh, no, he's not.
He's not. And the heel started to leave. Lana hit the ring and demanded they come back. Summer Rae went to fight her. Lana dropped her with one mighty slap. Then she demanded Rusev come into the ring. He obliged. The fans could see where this is going. They chanted for Ziggler, and sure enough, Lana looked to the back and smiled, and out ran Dolph to a ridiculous reaction. Easily the biggest pop in the show so far. Crowd loved him. So he's running wild, and he goes to throw a super kick, but Rusev pulls Summer in the way, and Dolph stops himself. He's confused about what to do, and then Lana walks up, drops Summer with a round kick to the head. Rusev is exposed, and Dolph super kicks him out of the ring. Great angle. They should have just skipped the match and done this.
I don't know what's going on, but I seem to recall like 2 months ago, Dolph is running around and he's got "over it" written on his tights. And he's talking about how my contract's up and I may not sign another one. They never give me what I deserve. They never give me a chance. I may leave. I may go elsewhere. Now he's back and he's, "Oh, it's the greatest job in the world. Oh, I love all the fans." What happened? 2 weeks off, that was it? That's all it took?
I give up trying to understand this man years ago.
Not to mention, the man doesn't have any friends. He had self-tanner all over the front, and he didn't have anybody.
Yeah, where's Lana to put his self-tanner on?
And by the way, the bloom is off the rose with this Lana girl.
Well, the problem is they're having her do this bad accent on commentary. It's
she
death.
Is still very attractive, but now it's boring.
Yeah. She was a great heel. So they made her a babyface.
Well, they turned her babyface because she was going to be their top girl. And for whatever reason, she's no longer going to be their top girl. That's going to be Eva Marie. So this girl is probably going to go back to being heel again.
I like Eva Marie.
You're the one.
I'm going to remember you said that when she's all over the show every week.
She's very attractive.
Craig, they all are.
No. This one especially.
This one especially.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Right.
But just remember you said that.
Okay.
JoJo interviewed Lana and Dolph backstage. Dolph acknowledged the crowd reaction, said that's why this was the best job in the world.
The best job in the world.
I don't know.
The best job in the world.
And that I'm on the verge of quitting for a decade now?
Yeah. Oh, man, I hate this job. So now it's the best job in the world. Now that I made this movie.
Maybe that's it.
You realize how shitty every other job was?
Yes. Watch all the actors and the makeup people and the custodians and then all the other people in real life and realize, you know what? That paycheck in WWE ain't too bad.
No.
He vowed to send the caveman back to the Stone Age.
Said he could God, take, his dialogue here.
And he said he could take Brunhilde with him. What?
Yeah.
Does anyone understand this? All right. How do you take her Lesnar video package? Then we had Ryback versus Miz with Big Show on commentary. Okay.
Yes.
The match of the pay-per-view is a three-way, right?
Yeah.
Miz is in it.
Yeah. Right.
So he's going to be challenging for the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he goes here against the champion. I will say, by the way, his pre-match promo where he said Ryback was a reject from the Planet of the Apes and Show was the world's largest extra. That was actually funny. And then he did a Rick Rude tribute where he said, please be quiet while I take off my sunglasses. That's all fine work.
He had good delivery of that line.
He did.
He made me believe that he wanted us to be quiet while he took off his sunglasses.
Can't take off sunglasses and noise.
It's true.
Ryback killed him in a minute. Miz hit one move, and then Ryback slammed, or he went from a body slam to a suplex to the shell shock for the win. A complete two-minute burial squash. And now, Miz is going to challenge for the title 6 days later.
Yeah.
And if we go with WWE booking,
he's going to win. He's not going to win.
No.
I actually cannot believe that he would win this match. I firmly believe it's impossible. Wait till next week, but...
Ryback called out Show. Show walked to the back.
Another babyface and heel turn in one match. I'm not kidding.
No, you're right. He was doing commentary.
He was so friendly and jovial in his commentary.
Excuse me?
Is that a word?
Yes, it is a word.
Let me look that up.
I said it.
Not jovial?
No, he was jovial.
Listen.
I had a really bad friend. His name was Joe. He was kind of vile.
If you have some substance, you can put it in a vial, so the word must be jovial.
Yeah.
If you put coffee in a test tube, that's jovial.
There you go.
Point of this is he was jovial. That's how we say it around here. And then he was mad. The end.
Yes.
He was a heel.
You're right. He did two more turns in this segment without ever getting into the ring. Helmsley's came out for the Rollins-Cena contract signing. Rollins congratulated them on putting together such a great card. Congratulated himself on getting a statue after he won at SummerSlam. And he went the Smark fan route. Said Cena was not a superhero, he was the villain. Holding down young talent for the past decade.
God, here we go. Every week. Over and over.
He got a mixed reaction, mostly positive. And he said Cena was the disease and he was the cure. Cena finally came out, and you won't believe this, but he got a new shirt.
Yeah.
And
15 times, 15 right before times he's going for 16.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had a whole bunch of people that have been getting a hold of me to say that, well, you know he can't be winning, because I just made this 15 times t-shirt. It's like, who do you think this guy is? Zack Ryder? Like, these fucking shirts aren't selling?
Yeah.
Trust me. They're going to sell all those damn shirts if they need to. It's called a sale.
It's highly possible they only made one.
No, they were all over the place.
In the crowd.
Oh, were they? Yeah. My bad.
So, by the way, JBL astutely noted that Cena's surgeon had done a hell of a job.
Mm.
Nose looks totally fine. So Cena noted half the crowd loved him, half hated him, but nobody gave a crap about Seth. So he didn't know how he was going to get payback for what Seth had done to his nose. Decided he was not going to injure him because injuries heal. Instead, he was going to do something that would haunt Rollins and Hunter forever. He talked about his 15 championship wins. Said he designed this gear months ago when he thought they would never give him another title shot. But now he was going to do it, and he was going to get championship number 16, and that was going to tie Ric Flair's record. And that would piss Hunter off.
You know what he should have mentioned was, he should have just mentioned what everyone said to me, which is, if I win this title, you're not going to sell any of these shirts that you've stocked up. You're going to lose millions. May as well.
He said Rollins would just be a footnote. The guy Cena beat for a 16th championship. He said the difference between you and Hunter is Hunter was never Ric Flair's bitch. And he signed. And he said, this Sunday, I'm going to make you mine. And he walked out. I thought Cena was awesome here.
He was, but you know what? I kind of felt it going into this. And then I really felt it going out. Cena was great. But I've seen this 1,000 times on this show.
Of course you have.
Heel comes out. He talks about how everybody is sick of Cena. We don't want to see you. You're holding the company hostage. Blah, blah, blah. John Cena comes out, cuts a great promo. Everybody cheers. It is now formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying I've seen this 1,000 times, so I'm over it.
The other person who was great here was Hunter. Who, after Cena did a speech and he left, Hunter realized Cena was right. and that his hero's record was now in danger. And he looked at Seth like, you little fucker, this is all your fault because you had to run your mouth and challenge that guy.
Yeah.
And now my friend's record's in jeopardy, and it's all because of you.
Well, technically, the record's not in jeopardy yet. It will be a tie.
Mm.
Two more, and it'll be trouble.
I saw this as the 20-minute opening promo right in the middle of the show.
Moved like to the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, it was.
You're not wrong. Primetime Players and Lucha Dragons versus New Day and Los Matadors. The New Day came out, and they were rhyming. And Big E had a rhyme, and Kofi had a rhyme, and Xavier was supposed to have one, but life is too unfair. He started whining and ranting, and they had to get him back on track. So they calmed him down, and he goes over to the announce desk, and he's ranting and raving, whatever. And the match begins, and he screams, Showtime Synergy! Awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. The Matadors and New Day were on the same team, but they didn't get along because Xavier and Torito, who neither of whom was actually in the match, they started brawling. And Torito ran wild with Rey Mysterio spots. And then right after that, Kalisto pinned a Matador with, ironically, the West Coast Pop. So we had what we had in this match was Gem of the Holograms versus Rey Mysterio, and everyone won.
You know they're making a movie out of them.
Have you watched the trailer?
Yeah, it sucks.
It's beyond terrible.
Yeah.
It's like they never watched the show at all.
This is a 2-minute match. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. Need I say more?
I don't think you can.
Right.
And a Green Arrow Stardust video package. No, did they mention his entry on the show at all?
No. Mm-mm. So he must be fine.
Yeah. They had all kinds of fan art on the screen. And then we got a wacky King Barrett and Stardust video package. King Barrett calling himself, well, by the end of this, he was calling himself the Cosmic King, but he was cranking up the King persona to fit in with all the wacky comic book goings on.
The Cosmic King.
Cosmic King. Stardust gave him a new cape.
Mm.
Every hero and every villain needs a cape. I may be the only one, but I like Stardust.
You're the one.
Yep.
I wouldn't say you're the only one.
It's me and Cody.
You basically, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the other one.
Yes.
I'm sure Stephen Amell really likes him right about now.
Sure.
Heck of an upgrade on Barrett's shoulder pads.
That'll turn his career around.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I should hope so. I don't know. The guy's so good.
We've really, mentioned this before. He's skinny.
He really bugs me, though.
He's skinny.
And?
Wade?
Yeah.
He's pretty thin.
He's skinny.
All right.
He's shredded, but he's thin.
I have never once looked at...
The problem is because you don't watch Swerved. I honest to God, I may be wrong here. I'm going to tell you why. I may be wrong here, but I figured it out when I watched Swerved one day, okay? These people are fixated on things. Hence, Fat Owen Fat. You're going to see it on every goddamn show now from this point forward that Kevin Owens is fat. Someone's going to say something. Someone's going to zoom in on a picture. They're fixated on his fatness, okay? Do you remember about 10 years ago when Randy Orton got hurt and he came out and he was skinny? And Vince McMahon said, you got a neck like a stack of dimes.
Uh-huh.
Have we ever seen Randy Orton that skinny again?
The answer is no.
No. And we never will.
Mm-hmm.
Point of this is, I was watching Swerved, and they did this rib where, I forget who it was, but somebody paid off a security guy.
Kofi in the doorman.
It was Kofi.
Yeah, yeah.
He paid off a security guy to pretend like he didn't know who Wade Barrett was and not let him in the building. That was the rib. So Wade Barrett tries to go in the back door with Kofi, and the security guy goes, oh, hey, Kofi, yeah, come on in, buddy. You can't go in. And Wade's like, da-da. And the security guard's trying to pretend like, I don't know who you are. It's actually funny because Wade is sitting here saying, I'm an international superstar that's on television, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Wade's in street clothes. And as impressive as his physique is on television, when you put a t-shirt on him, he looks like a skinny guy.
Hmm.
And I would bet you anything that when he got his injury and he decided that he was going to come back a lean, mean fighting machine, he came back, Vince took one look at him in his street clothes, thought, this fucker's got a neck like a stack of dimes, and that was the end. If anyone could come up with a better reason, I would be happy to hear it.
Well, I noticed it when we were there live. How thin he is.
He's thin.
How thin everybody is. Like Summer Rae.
Summer Rae is a different level of thin.
Yeah.
But she's a woman, so it's fine.
Sure. But yeah, totally. They talk about the camera adding 10 pounds. Yeah.
So that's my theory.
Sasha Banks versus Nikki Bella in a champion versus champion match. Yes, Greg?
This was no good. And it died.
But let me guess, they're hot.
Nikki is really hot.
Yeah. Sasha's
cute. If you like your matches where one person throws a kick that misses by a foot and the other person falls down anyway, this was the match for you.
Absolutely.
A lot of that going on.
Man, there was a thing on the board for a few days where somebody blew up this giant picture of Nikki and it just said something like, what was it? Like, every match Nikki's not in sucks, so she must be a great worker or something like that. Well, here you go. Here's your Nikki singles match with Sasha. Sucked.
It did. I believe the Bellas had another turn here.
They do every week.
They're trying to match the Big Show's record in 2015 alone. And Nikki tried the rack attack, but I guess the heels distracted the ref. And then Naomi hit the bank statement for the win. Now.
Oh, Sasha hit the bank statement for the win.
Yes,
Naomi
Sasha.
Distracted.
Yes. So in Sasha, the NXT Women's Champion, just beat, via submission, mind you, the WWE Divas Champion.
Yes.
In a logical company, this would guarantee Sasha a title shot, a high-profile title shot down the road. This will be forgotten about by probably SmackDown.
No, it won't. What'll happen is we've already learned, there's going to be a tag team match at SummerSlam, and the women's championship match will be on Raw.
Mm. Oh, they didn't announce this?
No, but I'm guaranteeing that'll happen.
I see.
Because that's what they always do.
But Sasha's probably going to lose the NXT title on
Saturday. Match on Raw is not a high-profile title match. You may as well not have one.
Okay.
Renee then interviewed, and it sucks to even say out loud, PCB. He said they would get the win on Sunday.
The P in PCB is for pinky swear.
It must be.
That's their gimmick. They pinky swear.
I know you always...
Sure to attract this female
I know you always harp on this, but when they were watching the TV...
Oh, my God.
You know the best way to watch TV is
it's like
with...
the first 3 years of Vinny doing the show. He'd face the other way from the microphone.
The best way to watch TV, if I'm taking notes from PCB, is to turn completely sideways and crane your neck around.
Yeah, like an owl.
It was almost behind them.
It was like three owls watching television. I want you to face as forward as you can and turn your head as far away as you can the other way and pretend you're watching the television. Yeah.
Main event, angle time. Now, we reviewed the show pretty quickly. It felt like it went about 6 hours where I was actually watching it.
I thought it was a decent show, actually, as much as we've been upset about certain things.
Same shit we're upset about every week. Paul Heyman came out for a promo. They were in Minnesota, and he said tonight was a homecoming for Brock Lesnar. He cited all of Brock's accomplishments, making sure to note that his collegiate champion was one for the University of Minnesota. Brock came out. They had streamers. They had confetti. And this all seemed to make Brock about as happy as Brock Lesnar can be.
Happier? I didn't think he could be this happy.
He had a big grin.
I bet you he just goes up to miserable.
Ellie, he overachieved that tonight.
This ovation went on forever. Heyman then sang a song about Brock set to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah.
And the crowd joined in.
Yes, they did.
This was something else. So Taker's dong went off. And the place went dark. Then he came back on.
How do we use that term?
You start saying Taker's dong.
I use his dong sounded, his dong went off.
I apologize, boss. So anyway, we all got to enjoy Taker's dong. But when the lights came back, I killed Greg. When the lights came back up, he was not there. Brock and Heyman had a hearty laugh about this. Heyman made fun of Taker's Jedi mind tricks. And he noted that when Taker had finally returned to get revenge on Lesnar, he had gone for a low blow because he knew he couldn't beat Brock in a stand-up fight. And he ranted for another good 3 or 4 minutes.
Like that's a negative.
What?
If you can beat Brock in a stand-up fight, lay him out with a kick to the nuts.
That's a cowardly thing to do.
But it's a strategy. It's a good one.
No, it's not, well, it's an effective
heel.
One.
Well, he is a heel. He was booed the whole night.
totally, when you look at this whole angle, and I will get to this, he is totally a heel. Mm-hmm. So the lights went out, and they came back on, and this time Taker was there. And yes, he kicked Brock in the Lesnar's. Just right in the pills. So Brock goes down, and everyone hated him because he was in Minnesota. And they hated it more when he chokeslammed him. And this is when I realized, you know what? Yes, they're in Minnesota, and they love Brock, so they hate Taker. But let's look at what happened in this feud.
Yeah, Brock has been screwed.
No, go back. Undertaker lost a fair fight.
Yes.
He was defeated by a man who was the better man.
Knocked out.
He was then disappointed that the victor and his manager promoted that result.
Yeah.
They were upset about building their resume.
Hmm.
So he came back to save Seth Rollins' title by screwing Brock Lesnar and kicking him in the balls like a coward.
Yes.
Then he came back and kicked him in the balls like a coward again. He's yeah. a complete pussy in this feud.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be booed on Sunday.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll see.
In New York against Brock, I guess it is possible that they'll cheer The Undertaker. But I expect Brock to be the babyface.
So Taker hit a tombstone. His music and light show played. And that was it. And yes, even Brock Lesnar gets humiliated in his hometown.
Yeah.
I thought they'd been better off leaving these guys off TV and just showing that first brawl again.
I am telling you, my shark cage idea would have been way better. You wheel them both out on stage in shark cages so they can't get out and get at each other. Mm. And I even have a better idea. I have an upgrade to my own shark cage idea. They're both out there in shark cages so they can't get to each other. Heyman does the promo or whatever. They both banter back and forth. And all of a sudden, as the show is about to go off the air, Brock starts to shake the bars and he starts to bend them apart and he reaches through and he's about to get out and the show goes off the air. And on Sunday, they're going to let them out. That would have been way better than this. I mean, what are you doing this for, Craig? This was lame.
It was.
That's right. Shark cages would have been better. Let's play a song. What should I play?
F4W Boogie.
Huh. I don't know if I have that. I got a couple here I haven't played in a while.
Kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
Is that Austin saying that?
I think it was Hogan.
How about this one?
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems. A bitch is not one.
No BS. No BS. No BS. I got haters.
Wang, nobody in class hates you.
I know one person.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you on air.
You better tell me off the air, because I'm going to go give him a beat.
I will.
Anybody in class that doesn't like Wang, we got a problem.
Okay.
Is this somebody I know?
No, you don't know them. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I hope you learned your lesson. Dude.
Brian, if you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
That was a good one.
That was awesome.
Have we played that before?
I hadn't heard it.
How about that? I got one more later. Let's do Nitro.
Nitro opened with one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. VK Wall Street versus Hacksaw Duggan.
Where do you even begin?
Okay.
I could speak for hours about this match.
Mm-hmm. They showed, this is the first Nitro after the Clash of Champions, and they showed the finish from this match at the Clash with Wall Street versus Duggan. And watching that finish here, I wrote it had to be the stupidest finish of all time, and I believe they topped it in this match we're about to see. They said they broke their own record for stupidest finish.
Well, explain the shitty finish.
At the Clash, Duggan was fighting Wall Street. And as he is wont to do, he pulled out a roll of tape and began to tape his fist. But in the process, he accidentally taped himself to the referee. Let me say that again. In attempting to tape his fist, Jim Duggan accidentally taped himself to the referee.
Well, to be fair, I can see this happening. It's Jim Duggan.
So,
it's not like Neville did this. It's Hacksaw. Here's a guy whose gimmick is he was a brawler, and he could not throw a punch to save his life.
That's true. I thought that. So, Wall Street schoolboyed both of them, and the referee counted Duggan's shoulders down as they were taped together. That's what happened at the Clash. Now, here we are on Nitro, and I must watch this stupid babyface get a rematch. And I swear to God, this was dumber.
Let me say a few things about it before we get into the finish.
Actually, the Clash finish was dumber. I'm reading over this again. But
first off, last week, correct me if I'm wrong, last week, Nick Patrick was caught blatantly cheating to help the NWO get the hands up on WCW, correct?
To win in a brawl.
Yes, that
okay.
is correct.
But he was caught on videotape.
Yes.
Correct.
Blatantly helping the Outsiders.
Yes.
He's refereeing this match.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nevada State Athletic Commission controlling the referees here. This Nick Patrick fella here, he's refereeing the match. He's clearly a heel. We've had video evidence last week. And after all these years, Hacksaw Duggan goes to tape his fist, and Nick Patrick says, no, no, that's not allowed.
Correct.
Finally! But then, as Nick Patrick is trying to prevent him from taping his fist, VK Wall Street comes up from behind, and he grabs the tape out of Hacksaw's hands. So, as the referee is trying to get it away from VK, Hacksaw reaches back into his trousers, where apparently he has copious amounts of tape rolls. I used to think it was just one. Apparently it's many. Pulls out a second one. He starts to tape up his fists. Now Nick Patrick turns around, and now both wrestlers have taped fists. He's like, ah!
Yeah.
Hacksaw hits him. And Nick Patrick counts the pin.
Yeah, I'm going to recap what you just said. The ref pulled Duggan's tape away because taping your fist is illegal. Then he stopped Wall Street from using the tape because taping your fist is illegal. Then he watched Duggan with a tape fist, punched out Wall Street, and he just counted the pin, even though taping your fist is illegal.
And the best part is he goes to raise Duggan's hand, and there's a roll of tape dangling.
Yes.
From his fist.
He saw it. It didn't matter at that point. He literally threw his hands up and gave up.
This was silly.
This made me want to turn off the show.
And Duggan,
this?
Duggan selling? Horrendous.
Yeah, Duggan can't sell. He can't punch. He can't do anything. This was worthwhile to me because I got to enjoy one of the things that I love about wrestling, which is when you see a man's gear and you start thinking about the phone call that got this gear designed. Do you remember when you were a wrestler, Vinny?
Long ago, but yes.
You didn't really have much gear.
No.
I know I did. There's a place called Stagecoach Boots. And you could design your boots, for example. You could design your tights. VK Wall Street called some dude, and he said, what I want is a full-body singlet, and I want you to put gold dollar signs all over it.
At random.
Yeah.
No pattern.
This was his idea of something that would be cool.
Yeah.
What would work for his character? What a stupid looking outfit.
I think I got my boots from Stagecoach, but I send them my measurements, and here's what I want in the catalog, and I sent that in. And they called me, and they wanted to make sure, are you certain your calves are this skinny? And they were.
I got my boots from a physician, Dr. Martin.
Get it?
Yeah. So anyway, Duggan wins this match. Then Gene goes to interview him, and Duggan wants to know why Terry has turned his back on his family.
He wants to have a man-to-man talk with Terry.
Meanwhile, Randy Savage comes out, and everyone goes crazy. This confuses Hacksaw Duggan. Not that this is a hard thing to do. But as the crowd goes nuts, Duggan, not used to hearing this kind of ovation, screams, "What's going on, Gene?" And then Savage comes up behind him. He taps him on the shoulder. Duggan jumps back with his fist cocked, ready to fight. But Savage says, "Just chill, dude." And Savage basically explains, "I'm here to steal your promo time."
Yeah, that's what he did.
And then he gets to get a promo.
He was politely trying to say, "Your promo sucks.
Yeah.
Let me save this show."
And clearly, no one had clued Duggan into this. He just stayed in the background, pacing back and forth.
He stood there.
Trying to get on TV as much as he could as Randy Savage spoke.
Yeah.
So Savage cut a promo on Hogan, and he cut a promo on the Giant, who he's fighting tonight. And that was it. This was some weird-ass TV.
It was very weird. I did love that once again, in the wake of the Hulk Hogan scandal that has rocked the world over the last 2 weeks, every promo I hear of someone cutting a promo on Hogan on Nitro is funny now. We gotta talk like a man, Hogan. How could you do this to your fans and your friends and your family? He's appalled.
They showed the Giant versus Chris Benoit match in its entirety from Clash of the Champions.
This was not difficult.
No, this was a very memorable 23-second match.
I think one time, Brian, you deemed this the greatest chokeslam of all time.
I still do.
There's no chokeslam that's ever been better.
To this day, I insist. And having watched it here, I'm reminded of this.
Dude, I watched it, and I must have watched this 1,000 times as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remembered every moment of this. You know what this was, actually? It was Sheamus and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania as well.
Yes.
The girl distracts the guy a little bit too long. Uh-huh. He gets kicked in the face, and then he gets destroyed and beaten.
Yes, so... Woman distracted Benoit, taking his vest off in a moment that was never explained and never went anywhere. Shut up.
Giant. I'm just laughing. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just laughing at the idea that they're blaming her because apparently she couldn't get his vest off.
Yeah, she had him tied up in the vest.
Maybe you're too goddamn big to be wearing that vest.
He had a larger vest.
What are you blaming her for?
So Giant, and by the way, this is Giant's first match since losing the title. He's pissed off. So, he charges across the ring, he drop kicks Benoit into the corner, and yes, you heard that correctly, he walks around the ring a bit, and then he hits the biggest chokeslam of all time.
literally of all time.
Since man arose from prehistoric other man. So.
Primordial soup.
Thank you. So, Giant places one hand on Benoit's neck. He places the other hand under Benoit's ass, and he lifts him so high into the sky, and Benoit's ass is higher than the Giant's head. And Giant carries him around the ring like this for a while, then drops him from high in the sky down to the mat, and then he pins him.
Made it so impressive is Benoit decided to kick his feet up, so it looked like he was, 12 feet in the air.
His center of gravity. It wasn't just his head that was high.
Yeah.
His whole mass was...
Everything was very, very high in the air.
Yes.
It was great.
It was great. 2 decades later, still amazing. We then had Earl Robert Eaton versus Chris Benoit.
Loved this match.
Actually, this is a fun little match. Didn't have a lot of time, but...
They had about 3 minutes.
Yeah, Benoit hit the hardest diving headbutt of all time onto the nicest man of all time.
Yes.
And then pinned him.
That Alabama jam that he tried was really ugly.
This was the Bobby Eaton of 1996.
Still throw a punch, though.
And
he had been doing this wrestling thing a long time.
And as Vinny noted, the woman deal at the Clash, there was zero follow-up. She's there with Benoit, and she helped him win by punting Earl.
Mm.
Yep, that was that. We had more clips from the Clash. There was a 3-way tag match going on when the Outsiders attacked. And Scott Steiner appeared to have the match in the titles won, but evil ref Nick Patrick had stopped counting the pin to throw the match out due to interference.
You know what's funny is they interviewed Nick, and he's actually a pretty good promo.
Yes.
And it reminded me of, I don't remember what show it was on, but there was some show where Steve Mazzagatti fucked something up, and they interviewed him, and he sounds exactly like Nick Patrick. He is his generation's Mazzagatti.
I guess so. So then later on the same show, Flair was challenging Hogan for the title. He had Hogan in the figure four, and Hogan appeared to be on the verge of submitting, but then he grabbed Patrick and threw him down instead, and then the Outsiders attacked Flair, and that was that. So back on Nitro, Oakland interviewed Sting and Luger backstage. He said they had a surprise tonight. Lex Luger spoke so quietly, I didn't catch one word he said. I had no idea. Sting talked about facing Flair and Anderson tonight, and then they left, and poor Gene never learned what their surprise
They've
was.
They've got a surprise. Maybe Luger revealed the surprise, but he was so quiet.
You may have.
Didn't hear it. Norton and Disco. The best part of this match.
The best part of this match was there was a giant sign in the crowd that said, where's Glacier?
That was not the best part of this match.
Maybe Glacier holding it.
The best part of this match was Norton and Ice Train are feuding.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at the Clash, Norton attacked Ice Train as Ice Train was participating.
Yes.
In a fan chat on CompuServe.
Yeah. You are correct. That was the best part.
We have people listening right now who have never heard of CompuServe. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
CompuServe. And there's like all of these computers, these big, giant fucking computers with these huge-ass cathode ray monitors.
These monitors are larger than some cars I see in the road today.
Yeah. I'm like, how did I was around then. Did you really need three computers to operate CompuServe?
I don't think so.
Am I missing something here? But yeah, apparently he's just chit-chatting on CompuServe. And I vaguely remember this, but in order to chat with Ice Train, you had to type in like go Clash or something, and then that would log you into CompuServe.
Sure.
And so they're showing clips from the Clash, and they've got the instructions on how to log on the screen, but they're telling us, please don't call CompuServe right now.
Yes.
Like, what'll happen? What happens if you call CompuServe when you're not supposed to? Is there a guy, is there Al CompuServe that lives somewhere? And if you call him at the wrong time, it's just going to wake him up. Like, what happens if you call when you're not supposed to? I could not figure this out. Someone please answer this question for me.
Just call him right now.
Please don't call.
So Scott Norton destroyed Disco. Every once in a while, Disco would break free. He would dance and he'd turn around and Scott would just kill him again. And finally, Norton
won. A very smart guy.
Disco's not, no. And finally, Norton hit a shoulder breaker and an armbar for the win. And I've never been a big fan of the shoulder breaker as a move. I always thought it just looked kind of phony.
Not with Norton.
Disco's shoulder broke. This looks savage and violent.
Yeah.
There's one point, Norton, as Disco is down, puts a foot on his chest and he yells, dance for me.
This is a great squash. This is awesome.
I did enjoy this.
Oakland then interviewed Ice Train and Teddy Long backstage.
Oh, God, this is amazing. Between Teddy Long looking 40 years older on this than he does today, and whatever Ice Train was doing for his promo, and the constant references to CompuServe, this is a money promo right here.
All I know, well, Teddy said that Norton had won the Hog Wild match due to ref stoppage, but the ref was Nick Patrick. And they all knew he couldn't be trusted.
Fucking Patrick. I wonder if CompuServe had buffering. Does anybody remember?
I suspect there was no video.
Is it better or worse than the WWE Network in terms of buffering?
I never had CompuServe. We were a Prodigy family. But I'm pretty sure CompuServe did not have streaming video content.
I do remember that so After Dark is on Art Bell's Dark Matter Radio Network. And Keith Rowland is the guy behind it. And he was Art's old webmaster. And he met Art in the mid 90s, and Art had a BBS.
Oh, yeah.
And so the gimmick was only one person could be on at a time. So like Art would go, we've got some photos from the alien autopsy television show. They're up on my BBS. And so he requested that when you got on, download the pictures quickly, which of course in 1995 meant 18 minutes to download the photograph, and then log off so that somebody else could log on to get the pictures. What a world.
We're all living in caves back then.
There are children listening to this right now just going, they're full of shit. There's no way.
Did we have running water? I don't remember.
It's crazy to think back.
Okay, back to this promo, by the way. So Teddy makes his claim, and an ice train goes on a rant, and he's just talking about trains. I have no idea what his point was.
Because he's ice train.
But you know how annoying it is on Raw when guys are doing a promo backstage and they won't look at the camera?
Yes.
You know what's even more annoying? When Ice Train is the only guy who cuts a backstage promo and won't look at the camera. Everyone else in the show did, or they looked at Gene, but he's just looking off in the distance. And Gene's looking at him. And then Gene looks at the camera, hoping perhaps that Ice Train will get the hint.
Nope,
Train just keeps on.
Maybe there's a CompuServe computer back there that he was looking at.
I guess.
He was broadcasting to the.
I guess.
You know what I know so on Raw? You're only allowed to not look at the camera if there is an interview person there. Because when King Barrett and Stardust did their deal, they both were looking at the camera.
Sure, and Bray Wyatt looks at the camera when he's doing it. Yeah, so there's...
Very wacky.
The rules change. Lord Steven Regal versus Dean Malenko.
Looked good between the buffering.
Sorry you missed this, Brian. He used to go in there and they had a goddamn good wrestling match.
Yeah.
They did takedowns and reversals and counters and tried to get pins.
Well, I should thank the buffering because that made this match 15 minutes. I got more of it for my money.
I hadn't thought of that idea.
They are very good.
The action was so good, Regal did a series of lateral presses, and the fans were marking out for it.
I've never
thought of Malenko as a powerhouse, but he at one point lost Regal in the air with a suplex. And after, I guess it was about 8 minutes total, but of just pure athletic competition, Malenko had a roll-up for the win. Like a good ROH match in the middle of Nitro.
This match is very good. Always surprises me how it's not so much that Regal's a huge man, but in there with Malenko, he looked like a huge man. My takeaway from this match, while it was a great match, I could not believe the laziness of Nick Patrick.
Have you ever watched him?
This guy would hook the top rope and lean over and ask them, do you want to quit? He never took a knee.
No, until, of course not.
Until the pin, most refs will hit their belly and no.
He lounges.
Nick knelt and reached for the mat and hit it three times.
Did you stay on one knee like Bronco Lubitsch?
Yeah.
Oh.
God, he was horrible.
Oakland interviewed the four horsemen on the ramp.
All right, here we go. Time for my other major pet peeve in wrestling nowadays. As if I've not complained enough. You ever notice on Raw when it goes from hour to one to hour two, all they do is at the bottom of the screen, they put copyright 2015 WWE and they put up a little graphic and we seamlessly go an hour two.
Mm-hmm.
Not Nitro.
No.
Nitro has got to put out fireworks and they've got to make a big deal exactly at the top of the hour. And so as a result, they actually cut off Ric Flair's promo.
Yeah.
So that they could announce it is now hour two. Must we?
Yes, that happened.
Can we just do hour two and not interrupt Ric Flair in the middle of a promo?
Yeah, that happened. And then we had Nasty Boys versus Public Enemy.
My two favorite feuds.
Who I had forgotten were still around.
Nasties versus Public Enemy and WCW Music versus WWE Network Editors. What?
Actually.
Public Enemy's music.
I may have to go back and check. I think this is the music they actually used.
That's impossible.
I don't think so. The fans were all out of rhythm.
Okay, never mind. The Nasties did.
That's not good evidence, Craig.
Sure, it's true.
The Nasties was. I remember that for sure.
I need that for the show opening. If anybody can give me the Nasty Boys WWE Network music. Or the Public Enemy.
So, we had four dudes brawling nonstop. Then he split screen to show all the action.
Which succeeded in showing us none of the action. Because the screens are so small.
Their split screen is so ridiculous.
You can put eight screens there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing a multiplayer campaign on Call of Duty with eight guys.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds exactly like what they're doing.
There.
Right.
So they tried to put Sags through a table. He dodged. Both of Public Enemy went through it. This made Bobby Heenan, the announcer, note, wait a minute. You were just outsmarted and outquicked by Jerry Sags?
Yeah.
And then Knobs pinned Rocco with an elbow smash.
Mm-hmm. He did. He fell down and dropped his elbow on him and won.
Like Andre.
Yeah.
It was scary, too, when Knobs got off the, or Sags got off the table started to teeter.
Oh, that would have been bad.
Yeah. And luckily, it fell the right way. Oof.
All I know is they interviewed these guys afterwards, and Sags' the worst promo ever. He's got to be way up there. His promo was so bad. Knobs was also bad, but it was better.
All I know is they talked about beating all the other tag teams, and Knobs says, I'm still friends with Hogan, but I'm not in his business or anything. And they finish the promo, and then just says, these guys sure enjoy their buffets.
That Owens fat.
They were. The Nasty Boys were two Kevin Owens. They showed Eddie Guerrero beating DDP at the Clash. And Paige shook his hand afterwards, but then laid him out with two diamond cutters.
Oh.
And then Chavo Jr. runs out to make the save. But Paige throws him away with one arm and then diamond cutters Eddie again. I have never seen a wrestler be a bigger geek.
Well, he won tonight.
So we got Chavo versus Paige here on Nitro. Chavo, I guess he hit it, but he did a slingshot tope.
Oh, God, landed right on his head on the cement.
Oh, God, Paige did nothing to change his direction or slow him down at all. He basically stood in the ring, jumped over using the ropes, and dove onto his forehead. I screamed very loudly. And, yes, Paige, as Brian noted, this is the week, because Paige has been, you know, doing the exact same match for like a month now. And here he is kicking Chavo's ass. He hits a sit-out powerbomb. He hits a double chicken wing belly-to-belly suplex, a move I have never seen before or since. And then Chavo hits a backslide out of nowhere for the win.
So after the match, they've got, he takes off Nick Patrick's belt and he starts whipping Chavo. And they send out Pee-wee Anderson to help break it up. And Pee-wee yells at Nick Patrick for not breaking it up himself. And Patrick goes, I was trying. So as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, if this is where I think they're going, this is actually very brilliant because the little guy runs out and is able to break it up, but Nick Patrick didn't. So they go to Gene, and Gene interviews Patrick, and Patrick says, well, I'm like a cop, and if I'm a cop, I'm not just going to run into the building, I'm going to wait for backup. And Gene says, Pee-wee's half your size. And Patrick says, yeah, we both have each other's back, blah, blah, blah. This was actually a really good little angle, although it had nothing to do with the NWO. This was all about how Patrick is incompetent as a referee, which I thought were two completely different storylines. But anyway, Patrick says, all of my problems are your fault, Gene. You and the media, these magazines, they're all blowing it out of proportion. And as he's explaining himself, Gene Okerlund calmly says, I saw that new house you bought within the last 10 days. Seems like it's pretty big for a guy who makes the kind of money you make. I was like, wow, I'd have sued that fucker if I were Nick Patrick. What an accusation on national television here. And alerting the world I don't make no money at my job. What a dick Gene was. Man.
Had the American Males versus Harlem Heat. They showed clips of the third episode of Nitro ever nearly a year ago when the Males beat Harlem Heat for the tag belts. Due to some bullshit with Sherry and Rob Parker. That just made it clear that the bullshit with Sherry and Rob Parker has been going on for nearly a year with no resolution in sight.
That's true. You know what I noticed was, this was less than 1 year ago, and the footage looked like it was from 10 years ago. Because WCW all of a sudden started making some money, and they put money into production, and they moved into larger buildings, and they got better lighting, and it was 10 times better a year later.
That's all true.
Match was a total mess. The highlight was when Stevie threw a kick of some kind and Bischoff just noted it was a little slow.
Yeah.
Stevie, Bagwell gets the hot tag, runs wild a bit. Then Stevie catches him with a power slam and makes the cover. He makes the cover, but Nick Patrick, still refereeing, he is distracted by Scotty Riggs for a good 3 or 4 seconds.
They assigned him to 8 matches on the show.
He is distracted by Scotty Riggs for 3 or 4 seconds after this power slam. Then he turns around and cleans his sheet. 1, 2, 3. Bagwell gets pinned. Biggest geek since Chavo.
That was bad. But the real highlight of this match was Scotty Riggs delivering the hugest missile dropkick I've seen. He was
Kind of.
So high.
He hit and then he just fell like he'd fallen out of an airplane.
See, he jumps really, really, really high.
Yes.
But to jump that high, he had to sacrifice distance. So he's coming down from the air, stretching out with his feet as far as he can, trying to make contact. Like, it was sort of cool, I guess. It didn't look like it hurt the other guy very much.
Looked awful impressive to me.
You're half right. No, he jumped really high. So it was supposed to be Flair and Arn versus Sting and Lex. But Sting comes up before the match and says, "We demand the other two horsemen come out right now." And the horsemen were surprised, but they laughed, and Benoit and McMichael appeared.
In hindsight, why?
Because they wanted to talk to everyone man-to-man and get everything on the table.
I see.
This was a 20-minute Raw promo, but it was very, 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 very good.
I thought the segment was awesome.
It was mostly Arn being unbelievable.
Arn and Sting.
Sting was great, too. So even Luger was pretty good.
Everyone was good. It's just, in fact, you knew it. Well, we'll get to that. So Sting explains, look, the four of us, have been beating each other up for a decade now. We can do it again, or we can realize we have common opponents here. Says, we don't trust you guys. We don't sure as hell don't like you guys. But we do know, you have shed your blood for WCW. Now, in 30 days, there's going to be War Games. A match created by the Horsemen for the Horsemen. He turns to Benoit Mongo and he says, with all due respect, Chris Benoit, you have never been in War Games. Steve McMichael, with all due respect, you have never been in War Games. The only four men in this company who have been in War Games are Flair, Arn, me, and Lex. We're the only ones to know what it takes to survive this. We're the only ones to know what it takes to win this. And we want to team with you against the NWO. And Arn is caught very off guard by this. Not sure what to make of it.
As is Flair.
Flair was... You don't think of Flair as being great just standing there. But Flair is standing back deep in thought. Weighing every word everyone's saying. The pros and cons of all this.
For once in his life, he is dumbstruck.
He's dumbstruck, but he's also... And he's thoughtful. It's the only word I can use.
He is a very thoughtful Ric Flair. He's
pondering.
Also for the first time in his life.
Yes. He's
thinking and weighing options.
The nature boy is usually rather impulsive.
Yes.
He does not consider his options much.
The nature boy is a ready, fire, aim kind of guy.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like if there's a blonde and a brunette, you got to make a choice. You just fuck them both.
Right. Yes. So Arn says, look, Lex, you've got an amazing physique, but all your jiggling pecs, use those words, those are going to help you in War Games at all. Can you bring the power and desire that you use to build that body? Can you bring that into War Games? Because then we might have something. Lex says, look, Arn, you and I have fought hundreds of times. Have you ever gone back after a match with me, win, lose, or draw, gone back to the locker room and thought, Lex didn't give it his all tonight? And Arn had to admit Lex had a point. So Arn turns to Sting. And again, a man he has fought hundreds of times. And says, Sting, the problem with you is you have always been too concerned about the children, the little stingers. And I need to know if you can put that aside and you can stop worrying about what they think and commit the violent, horrible things that you must do to win War Games. He assured in this promo to mention that the outsiders would have to kill him because the words I quit would never leave his lips. And that would set up something a month down the line.
That's right.
Well, Sting was appalled Arn would even ask this. He said, my life for years now has been nothing but WCW. Everything I've ever done has been for the good of this company. And Flair steps up and says, I don't like either one of you, but I know you hate Hogan as much as I do. So I tell you what. If Mongo and Benoit will step aside, we can do this. But it has to be their decision because we are horsemen first. And when he made this announcement, Mongo did not look happy. He did not trust these pretty boys. So Benoit says he has waited his whole life to be a horseman, but he trusts Flair and Arn and he would live with their decision. And Mongo says, you know what? I know all about teamwork. He points to the Super Bowl ring and says, I was part of the best team in NFL history. So I will be a team player and step aside. But if you two pretty boys don't get the job done, you're going to wish the NWO had finished you off. And so it was done.
Mongo could cut a promo.
Mongo was awesome in this.
I will give Mongo that.
Mongo was so great.
Couldn't wrestle to save his life,
no,
but he could talk.
But he's a great talker. Sting was great. Arn was great. Lex was good. Lex and Flair didn't do much here, but they were really good. Everyone was awesome here. Everyone was believable. Everyone was authentic. Everyone was passionate. This was tremendous television.
And what a match they set up, and what a angle they shot in that match.
Mm-hmm.
That would pay off a year and a half later. Kind of.
Kind of.
It was Nick Patrick.
On paper.
That's right. Goddamn Nick Patrick. They built this thing up for 2 years and he fucked it up.
You had the announcement paid for by the NWO. I don't know.
These are so lame and boring in hindsight. It's amazing.
Well, the weirdest thing about this one was they were out of the studio now. So this is Scott Hall and Kevin Nash with a couple of, what do you even call it? The camcorders.
Camcorders, yeah. And they went to a museum.
In Denver.
Yeah.
Why? Why were they in Denver?
I don't know.
The show was not in Denver. I forget where the show was.
The Clash was in Denver.
I see. Well, that explains that.
It took several days to edit and then mail the tape to WCW
FedEx
offices. Yeah.
So, yeah, they hung out in a public museum and they shot each other and they buried Sting and they buried Lex and they buried the Booty Man and that was it.
And Nash got in the line and he looked very lecherous at the camera and said, I got to know what's going to happen to the Booty Babe.
This guy.
I bet he did want to know.
I still do.
Main event was Giant versus Randy Savage.
You know, when they came out and Savage attacks him with a chair and is just beating him down and then Giant's making his comeback and beating down Randy Savage, all I could think was, did you two idiots not watch the previous segment? We all got to get along here. We're being invaded. Why are we beating each other up?
So he's working him over the chair, and the ref just threw the match out almost immediately. And Giant beats him up a bit, but Savage gets the chair back. He beats him up with a chair, and the Dungeon of Doom tries to interfere. And he's fighting him off with a chair for a while. And then suddenly he realizes, I am outnumbered 6-1.
Yeah.
6-1. Eventually, this is going to go badly. And he
flees.
Yes.
And he ran for his life.
And as, you know, Randy Savage was a baseball player. This man was an athlete. He could move. He was putting that speed to good use here.
And you know who else was an athlete?
Oh, my goodness.
Paul White.
The Giant.
The Giant recovers. He catches his breath for a moment. He surveys the scene. He realizes Randy Savage is gone. He screams a mighty roar. He then vaults out of the ring.
Vaults.
Vaults, like Brock Lesnar vaults into the ring. He vaulted out of the ring to the floor.
He ran across the ring, jumped and dove over the ropes, put one hand on the rope, landed on his feet on the floor, and then he ran up the ramp like a bear.
Yeah.
He was running so fast.
This I watched this
horrifying.
Guy, and I just thought, if this guy had got into amateur wrestling at Brock's, when Brock did at that age, or he got into MMA at a young, young age, what a beast. Now, the problem is he wouldn't have been able to get down to 265.
Yeah.
But at that time, they had the super heavyweight division. Could have wiped everybody out. He was an incredible athlete.
Terrifying man. Just absolutely terrifying.
Still is, actually.
Well, yes.
Given his age and his size and how many years he's been wrestling, he can run.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys on that roster today that can't run.
That's true. One of them is main event SummerSlam. So between Regal Malenko and the Sting Horseman promo and this last segment, it was a hell of an episode of Nitro.
Mm-hmm. Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. Listen, before we go, let's do another plug for Super China Buffet Day.
That's a good call. It is at the Mandarin, the Seattle edition, by the way, obviously, of Super China Buffet Day. Mandarin Buffet and Grill in Redmond. Information is available at mandarinbuffetgrill.com. We are meeting there at 1 o'clock. We will stuff our bellies for a couple hours, and I'll meet back at Brian's for SummerSlam. You're all welcome to join us. There is a thread on the board about all of them, but...
Well, I'm trying to separate them all into separate... It's easier for people to find when they go on the board. But
everyone try to give me a head count because I'm going to try and reserve the private room they have.
Yes. If you go to the board as a subscriber and you go to the Empire Get-Togethers section... And by the way, if you're listening to this free, you're not a subscriber. So one of the things you're missing out on is coming over and watching SummerSlam here.
Yes.
But
subscribers are invited to come watch at his house.
Yeah, subscribers coming over to my house. So if you're a subscriber, go to the board and go to Empire Get-Togethers. And if you're in the Seattle area, you'll want to click on Super China Buffet Seattle. And there is all the information, the location, and everything like that. And give Vinny the head count, RSVP in there. And then afterwards, after we eat, it'll be at 1 o'clock because the show starts at 4 and there's probably going to be a pre-show as well. So we'll eat at 1 o'clock and then we'll come over here and we'll watch the pre-show as well as all of SummerSlam, and it'll be a good time. And if you live anywhere else, you can make a separate thread for your area. I'm trying to get everybody to make separate threads for wherever it is that they live. And maybe you can meet some other people in the area and make some new friends. We got more subscribers than ever. And so there's a lot of people out there that probably would like to meet other people who still watch wrestling. So head up there to the board and either find a thread for your area or make a thread for your area and join in the Super China Buffet Day celebrations. Let's do one last song here and then we'll... Yes, Craig?
I just want to remind everybody that I'm pretty sure you only have one more week for the contest.
Craig Contest. What is it?
It's the Unnecessary
Censorship.
Part 2.
That's right. So if you want to join the Unnecessary Censorship Contest, make sure you keep it, what do we say, a minute or less? 30 seconds or less?
I don't think that matters, does it?
For sure, it's got to be under a minute. And send it to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. And make sure you put Craig Contest in the subject line. Otherwise, I'm not going to see it. And make sure it's in MP3 format. And we shall do them on next week's show. Now, can I play a song?
Absolutely.
Okay, Melissa DeVoe wants us to say a happy birthday to her boyfriend, Dave, who's going to be 31.
I thought his name would be Bell Biv.
That girl's dope. Mm-hmm. I saw her picture in the
Fighting Spirit
magazine. Her body dope. Know what I mean? She looks so hot and makes me full of steam. She reminds me of a sexy X-rated
Prono
queen. I might just take my time and make that girl mine. She's dope and I know she's good.
She's dope. All right, there you go, everybody.
Fine work.
That's all. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Bye.